I mean, when you've got friends like mine. I mean, when you've got friends like mine. Isn't it warm? Isn't it rosy? Side by side.
He's such a cutie.
By side.
Isn't he a cutie?
Ports in a storm. Comfy and cozy. Side by side.
He never loses his cool.
By side.
I envy that.
Everything shines. How sweet. Side by side.
We're just so fond of him.
By side. Parallel lines. Who meet.
Love him. Can't get enough of him.
Everyone winks. Nobody's nosy. Side by side.
He's just crazy about me.
He's a very tender guy.
You bring the drinks and I'll bring the posy. Side by side.
He's always there when you need him.
By side. One is lonely and two is boring.
Aww.
Think what you can keep ignoring. Side.
He's my best friend.
By side.
Second best.
By side.
Never a bother. Seven times a godfather. Year after year. Older and older.
It's amazing. We're getting older every year, but he seems to stay exactly the same.
Sharing a tear. Lending a shoulder.
You know what comes to my mind when I think of him?
What?
The Seagram's building. Isn't that funny?
Ain't we got fun? No strain.
Sometimes I catch him looking and looking. I just look right back.
Permanent sun. No rain. We're so crazy. He's so sane. Friendship forbids.
And we've just been listening to music from the musical comedy Company, which is being performed starting tomorrow, Thursday, the 4th of November, and going on for a couple of weekends. I have here in the Santa Fe Baking Company, Christy Carson, who is the artistic director of Santa Fe Rep. Clara Soyster is the director, and Campbell Martin is an actor and doing the musical staging in Company. Should I call it a play or a musical? It's sort of both. In the musical.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
So this is a musical comedy by Stephen Sondheim. I can't remember when there's been a Sondheim musical performed in Santa Fe.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons for doing it, because not only is Sondheim hardly ever done in Santa Fe, rarely, but I'm sure the Company has never been done.
Now, tell us about this play. It seems, I went to a rehearsal, it seems super New York.
Oh, good, that's where it is. it's very much about, what would you put, non-commitment. It's actually relationships, but people, especially in an urban setting, but of today, not being able to commit. It's really about wanting to commit, but never quite getting there, or being there and wanting out, or all of those variations on that.
Yeah, specifically the main character, Bobby. Is single. He's celebrating his 39th birthday, and so in the musical, he has several couple friends, married couple friends, and then there's three single girlfriends. So you get that from both sides. You get the input from married couples and then also from the three single girls. And he's kind of, yeah, caught in between the married couples and the singles. The married people are trying to get him married, and, you know, the single girls are still wanting to date him and like that. So he's caught there in that moment of wondering, is he gonna commit or not? Yeah.
But he's also looking at these five couples, these married people, and seeing how dysfunctional they are, and he's sitting there, why get married?
Well, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the whole thing yet. It'll be fun to see the full production, but the rehearsal I went to, I was watching one of the scenes where he's over at his friend's house, or this couple, and they are the poster children for bad marriage.
I wonder what scene that was.
probably your scene, it was, Campbell.
Probably could have been more than one of them.
Yeah. Well, they're all slightly dysfunctional in their own way, and that's what makes this kind of charming. This was originally done separate little vignettes, and as a play, the storyline comes from. And then it was brought by Hal Prince and Stephen Sondheim into this little musical and tied together, sort of, still in vignettes, Bobby's in each one of the scenes. The poor actor never leaves the stage. He just goes from scene to scene.
Yeah, and George Firth wrote those vignettes, and he's still, Stephen Sondheim wrote the music, but George Firth did write the book, the scenes, the vignettes that it's all based on.
Now, this premiered in 1970?
Right. And so it's really full of that period, I think, in New York, too, where sexualities were being redefined. And then again, whether you're going to be married or single. And so all those kind of questions about relationship, sexual identity are rife in the piece,
right,
which makes it so interesting.
Drugs and alcoholism also.
Well, that too.
And questions of homosexuality and do I, divorce and one of the best couples in the play, the one that seems to be one of the most loving couples, actually got divorced, but they're still together.
And happier divorced.
Yeah. Well, and there was some weird stuff going on in that era, too.
Yeah.
Does it feel, when you read through the script when you start rehearsing it, does it feel dated? Does it feel like a 70s piece?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no.
I agree, too. Yeah. I don't think it's dated at all.
Not much has changed.
Uh-uh. Right,
really
in that particular realm.
Yeah.
Probably, in a way, the lack of things like cell phones and internets and the accoutrements of our lives today would be what dates it. And you might not even notice that they were missing.
Well, the show opens with a series of phone calls. And everyone's on their cell phones today,
right,
and listening to messages, texting. This whole thing, it's just no answering service anymore,
right?
Like when it was written. Right. So it kind of makes sense. And the music, sometimes the backfill of some of the music sounds a little dated as far as musical theater is concerned, but it really floats just fine in today's.
Well, and one of the things Sondheim said when he created this piece was, he wanted to get away from the happily ever afters in so many musicals. And in this, he said, really what it says is that in relationships, it just keeps going. Relationships keep changing and moving and going, and they don't necessarily end or get better. It just keeps going.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one reason I think it's not dated or doesn't appear dated also, because the themes are really universal and timeless, You've got good marriages, you've got bad marriages, you've got, people, again, deciding whether they're gay or straight. I mean, some the themes that are in the musical are timeless, really.
Right. Yeah, you probably find them all in Greek epics.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I think that also, these people, as dysfunctional as they are, they really love each other.
Yes.
I mean, it's obvious, and how it all ties up, that these people really love each other, and this is how they operate and how they function.
Well, it's funny you say Greek, because one of the things they both, George Firth and Sondheim, thought about when writing this was that the married couples are like a Greek chorus. They're the ones standing there watching and observing. Really, the whole play takes place, if you will, in Bobby's head. It's him reviewing on his birthday the question of commitment, do I want to get married, all of these questions. And so these vignettes, it's a concept musical, so there's no set timeline. So we're jumping around the moments between couples, between him and the women he's dating, as he goes over this in his head.
We're talking about Company, a musical comedy that is opening tomorrow, and it's happening at Warehouse 21, which is where your last production Anything Goes happened.
Exactly. We started with Cole Porter's Anything Goes last fall, and I had chosen that because it's just such an entertaining piece. People love the Cole Porter music and engaging book, fun characters, but certainly with Company now, we're getting into a little more challenging, more adult terrain, so which I'm happy about.
And you're bringing in actors from out of Santa Fe.
Yes, we're fortunately have two actors came up from Albuquerque, so we're happy about that. And also there's quite a lot of new actor-singers, even from Santa Fe here, that audiences wouldn't have seen before. Yeah.
They've recently moved to Santa Fe, and we're glad they're here.
Yay.
Yeah. This play, this comedy, this musical, I keep getting the words wrong, when it came out, was very successful, very popular. It ran forever in both New York and London.
Yep.
Yep.
With several different cast changes throughout, and that's what would intrigue people to go see. People fell in love with that. In fact, there's a man we all know here in mm-hmm. Santa Fe who sent an email to me saying when he was at Manhattan School of Music, he went and saw Company 7 times. And the original cast, and then he eventually saw Jane Russell play the role of Joanne. And, I mean, and he knows so much about it. And there's other people that I saw the other night at another restaurant that said, oh, my God, we saw it when we went to New York in the 70s. So not everyone, but a lot of people have a strong connection to this show. And for me, I didn't move to New York until the late 70s. This was gone. But this was my generation's Rent.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
You know how the kids that I teach at the former College of Santa Fe, they were Rent. Well, when I was in college, was Company, but we weren't old enough to play them.
Right.
And now I'm finally old enough to play one of these roles.
I just want to add to that a minute, too, because I, too, have found out by talking to people about that we're doing Company, so many people have said to me that it's their favorite show or one of their favorite shows. So it's really interesting to see how many people love this show. And also I just wanted to add about when it came out in 1970, it really was revolutionary for its mm-hmm. time. Sondheim and George Firth really broke new ground from what had been before that. The nonlinear plot, the vignettes, the lack of a traditional set, kind of just a very minimalistic set. There are many things that he did that were new to New York, and I think that contributed to why it was so popular, because it was so fresh and so groundbreaking.
One of the things you said a moment ago was that how the idea of happily ever after and happy endings mm-hmm. in real life, you don't have an ending. And I was thinking about how our language betrays us when we always say, well, in the end, this or that will happen. What's the end?
You don't know.
Besides death, which isn't one ending, but even that, humanity goes on, and it just is the sort of continuous thing. And I love it that this play actually kind of speaks to that.
And even when you get to the end of this play, you're not sure where Bobby's headed. I mean, you have an idea
maybe
where
don't
he's
give too
going,
much away.
But, you know, it's everybody makes their own decision at the end, really, I think.
Yeah, I think it's very good at posing questions, not mm-hmm. necessarily answering resolving them. Or
yes.
answering them.
Right. And there is this funny phenomenon that I noticed when I was in my 20s. Luckily, people left me alone, but there were some people who I graduated from college with who were unmarried, and all their friends were trying to get them married and wondering what was wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's pressure to get married. I know I was 28 when I got married the first time, and I felt like, oh, I'm getting close to 30. I better get married. Yeah.
Well, and Bobby's just hounded
yeah.
throughout this. Why aren't you married? Why aren't you married? And here he has three girlfriends and many more. There's a few more alluded to, so he's sort of a serial dater on top of everything else. And
there's also a quote, and I think it's actually one of my lines, if I can remember it, that at the very end of the show when they're talking to Bobby, trying to make a resolution, yeah. I say to him, you have so many reasons for not being, you have so many reasons for not being with someone, but Robert, you don't have one good reason for being alone. All these little thoughts are coming at him like this,
yeah.
and so it's up to him to make the decision at the end. And it slightly resolves.
It does. And the songs speak to it. The great thing about Sondheim's songs, because this is the first musical he wrote on his own.
The lyrics and the music.
The lyrics and the music.
Exactly.
Before that, it had been, you know, either or,
lyrics.
But this was both. And it shows. And there's several songs in this that people will just know. They've heard Bernadette Peters sing it. They've heard, you know.
Right.
There's so many great songs in this.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear another one at the end if we have time. Yeah,
absolutely.
But that, again, is part of what was so revolutionary, that the songs really forward, you know, progressed the action of the story.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just in the dialogue that the songs were an important, yeah, integral part of that.
There's songs, yeah, you actually have to act. There's just as much information in the songs, right, for the character as the scenes.
Right. It's not, as we say in opera, park and bark.
Right.
No. I love it.
This style of musicals set the stage for things like A Chorus Line, things like that. This stark reality, true human nature songs, no incidental music for set changes, you,
right,
know, nothing like that. No small children with bows in their hair at all. I might say this is not really a musical you'd bring the kids to.
It's
no,
not.
That's why I really set the student rate for 15 and over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's adult material.
Right.
And fortunately, my daughter, who just graduated from high school, had turned all of her friends on to this. And so it's nice to have a younger generation actually...
Absolutely.
Learning about Company, coming to see it and getting
now, is there dancing in it?
Oh, thanks to Campbell.
Yes.
There's a lot of movement in this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like moving cattle, you know, in a lovely way.
What are you saying about your cast members?
They're lovely, every single one of them. No, well, it's because the story has to move, because the set doesn't change. People have to move to make transitions. And then there's numbers that require definite choreography, like the cute little number the three girlfriends do called You Could Drive a Person Crazy. It's got to have movement. And then there's another number that opens the second act called Side by Side, and it's Bobby and these couples, and they go into this song called What Would We Do Without You, which is a crazy vaudeville number. They're pulling out every trick in the book to get his attention to wow, wow, wow me. And he's just driving him crazy. They're pulling him, tugging him, and they bring out the canes. They bring out, you know, all the stops. So there's some movement.
It wasn't meant to be a dancing show,
right,
even from the get-go, right?
Well, no, there used to be a big dance number in this show that most people do not do. In fact, it was originated by Donna McKechnie in the role of Kathy. It was a big, long dance number called Tick-Tock. And most people, it's been cut out of nearly every major production from that point.
Are you doing it?
No, we're not
doing
it.
No, no.
It adds another 15, 20 minutes to the show.
Ah.
And that music is really dated.
And I think it was pretty much created for Donna McKechnie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
We're talking about Sondheim's Company, the musical comedy, which is going to be at Warehouse 21. Did you have trouble casting this?
That was my first question to Christy when she said she wanted to do the show, is do you think we can cast it? Because there's 14 people, and because it's Sondheim, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
You
What's
have
challenging
to be,
about Sondheim?
Well, the music is challenging. You have to really, you can't just be a, how would you put
well,
it?
Well, they have to have beautiful voices to handle the music, but they also have to have that degree of musicianship.
There we go.
That they really are facile and easy with learning music and doing the harmonies. So it requires that certain level. And also with Sondheim, not only do they have to be these musicians and have these beautiful voices, but they also have to be good actors.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to handle the material.
And Campbell can do both.
So, right. So, actually, yeah, I mean, that was the question. Would we be able to find 14? But
yeah.
Claire and I did the auditions together, and, you know, they really came out of the woodwork. We got such a great collection of people, and who we've ended up with, we are all so thankful for, because they are exactly that model, good singers and good actors.
And really amazingly fun people. I mean, this cast gets along very well, which is a huge asset.
That's great.
It's fun every night.
It is. It's a blast.
Yeah.
It sounds like a musical in which you can do it with a pretty minimal set. Is that right?
Yeah.
just as it was done when it opened in 1970. It was very minimal. Mm-hmm. And we are doing that again. Just cause, and also that's part of what Santa Fe Rep's mission is. I never want the set to like overtake what the show is about. I want to focus on the actor, the book, the music, those elements, and have them right front and center. So,
now, tell us more about Santa Fe Rep, because this was your brainchild, and it started, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, just last year, 2009. Uh-huh. Well, and I, you know, last year was when I stopped working at NDI. I was on staff there for 4 years teaching, and I realized that kind of the next step in mentoring, I loved mentoring the kids, but...
NDI, National Dance Institute.
At National Dance Institute, but they really, there's teen organizations like El Dorado Children and Teens and Pandemonium and, of course, NDI, and then in the context of the various high schools, they have opportunities to perform. But there was really no kind of professional model where they could come in and be in a professional setting and be in performances alongside experienced adults. And I thought that was really the next step in mentoring that wasn't here in Santa Fe, an opportunity for them to really to get paid to, you know, do this in that kind of a setting. So that was one of the impetuses. And the other impetus was the fact that musicals with adults are so rarely done in this town. And then clearly, as company shows, the talent is here, but they have no opportunity to do what they can do.
That's true, because I was a man who made my living in New York doing musicals. I've lived here 11 years. I've directed, choreographed, but I've not been in a musical.
Yeah.
And so it's very exciting for me to be in an adult musical.
Now, how do the three of you work together? You're a creative team,
well,
as it says on the flyer.
Collaboratively. I mean, I think that's the whole thing I love about theater. It is a collaborative effort. It's getting... when you have people who... like having Campbell on board and coming on board with Christy is taking what our strengths are and then piecing them together. And when Campbell actually suggested doing that he might do musical staging, I jumped on it because I don't have a background in that, and his is phenomenal. And what he's brought to the show is so great. And then, of course, Christy being gracious enough to bring me on board and say, come on, direct this puppy.
Also, we met long before
rehearsals.
Yeah,
we met Campbell.
And
yeah,
we drew pictures. We read.
For months, we were like, oh, where can we go with this song?
Sitting on my patio and just going through stuff.
Because we love this material, and it's so rich, and you can dive into it and really find treasures and places to go that bring it alive, bring it all alive.
The musical is Company by Stephen Sondheim, and it opens tomorrow. It's November 4th through 7th, and then again the 11th through 14th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 in the evening. Sundays at 4 in the afternoon at Warehouse 21. And for tickets and more information, people can call 989-4423, extension 7, and they can go to sfrep.org, of which Christy Carson is the artistic director. Clara Soyster is the director of Company, and Campbell Martin acts in it and does the musical staging. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.